All right, would you turn to Luke chapter 1? I want us to go here. I want to talk just a moment about John the Baptist, who prepared the way of the Lord. So that just ties into our lives, especially his mom and dad's life, the priest Zechariah and Elizabeth. And so John was Jesus's cousin, and he was about 6 months older than Jesus was. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read a little bit out of Luke, the first chapter. All right, let's read Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Insomuch, wait a minute. No, I'm not. Let's start at verse 5. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughter of Aaron. Now that was Moses' brother who spoke. He was a mouthpiece for Aaron, for Moses. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Remember that, put that in the back of your mind. Both the priest and his wife Elizabeth were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They were still under Moses' law at this time. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. And I like that interpretation, advanced in years, better than the old King James that says they were stricken in years. Like, Lord, I don't want to tell people they were stricken in years, but they were well advanced. That's what we'll say. Well advanced in years. Verse 8. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. I mean, this was really, really a big deal to get to do that part of the service. Now, let me just say this. We'll stop right there for a moment. There were about 20,000 priests in Israel at that time, and they rotated. Okay, so they had to burn incense in the morning and in the evening, every single day, 7 days a week. And so as they made their rounds, some of the, like Aaron and those who were in the upper part or the division of the priesthood, they would serve for 2 weeks in that temple. And you're talking about the temple where there was the outer court, the inner court, and then the holiest place. So where he was serving and where he was burning this incense before the Lord, it was right there at the curtain. Okay, it was in the holy place, but the only thing that separated the priest from God's presence right there in the ark of his presence was that curtain. And so there was the altar of incense. And the priest was told, they were all told, all the priests, what the ingredients would be for this incense. And so they had to have that incense with the right ingredients. And they would put it there. And then they had to go outside to get the fire burning out there on the altar where they sacrificed the animals in the outer court. So they would go out there and get that fire and bring it in and put it on this incense, and it would burn before the Lord. And the Bible called it a sweet smelling savor. And God loved the smell. Now we'll talk a little more about it in a minute, but it was just such a privilege to have that. So here you had this wonderful man. They loved God with all their hearts. They kept all of those ordinances of Moses, the law of Moses. And it says that it's his lot fell to burn incense, verse 9, when he went in to the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. So they were out there praying, and when he offered up this incense, the prayers of the people would be covered there, and they would go up into the nostrils of God, right into his presence. Verse 11, here's what happened. While he was serving the Lord while he was doing his work. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. It was like over against the menorah over here. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and he fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard." Somebody say, "Your prayer is heard." "And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll call his name John." Now, what an American common name. Nobody had ever been named John. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah." Look at this. "To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." I can hear some of you saying right now, "What? What's all that about, Pastor?" Well, let's just break it down here for a minute. So let me say, Jesus was getting ready, Jesus the Son of God was getting ready to come down to earth and become flesh, become a baby, become a man. He would become that for the very first time. He had never been to earth in the flesh. Now, in the old dispensation, God the Father spoke to the prophets, the priests, and the kings. And then they spoke to the people. So it was the prophets, the priests, and the kings. They talked to the people, but the people didn't talk. I mean, they could talk to God, but those people heard, okay? So there was the three. But when that dispensation closed, when Jesus came to earth, when Jesus died on the cross, then Jesus walked and talked with men. The Bible says, Peter says, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw him, we touched him, we handled him. We ate with him. We saw him die. We were witnesses of his resurrection." So all these beautiful things were happening. But then when Jesus went away, he sent his Holy Spirit to us. So that's how you and I hear today, and that's how you and I come into his presence. But for the very first time, Jesus came to earth. First, I don't know why God does things the way he does it, but he first prepared a man, and his name was John. And he prepared him to go before the Lord. So God spoke to mom and daddy. And he, of course, had a mom and dad. They were going to be involved. And he says, "You're going to give birth to this baby. And he'll take the Nazarite vow. And he's going to cause many to come to the Lord." He went out and baptized people. You know the story. People were baptized and came to the Lord. But he prepared him so he could prepare the way of the Lord. Now, God, listen, he goes before us many years before. And don't think for one moment that you and me are here by accident. We are here in this location on purpose at this time in this century, in this millennium, to do the work that God has called us to do. Not only did he prepare that man for the first coming of the Lord, Jesus is getting ready to return again. How many times? The second time. And so God says, okay, he's coming back, but I will have a remnant. I will have a people that will prepare the way of the Lord again. And so we've got to get ready, church. Our hearts are ready. Our spirits are ready because we are born again. We're filled with the Spirit. Man, if the trumpet blasted, we'd be caught up. But there's a lot of people that you love and you work with and they're family members. And they may not be ready. But the Bible said, you and I just read it. He said, I'll tell you something about this baby of yours. Now, this baby wasn't even in the womb yet. And then God spoke and said, but that baby, when it gets in the mother's womb, it will be filled with the Holy Ghost while it's yet in her womb. God called it a baby. People today, very intelligent people, don't know what a little fetus is. They don't know that it's a baby in the mother's womb. They don't know. But the Bible says God called him a baby. And when he comes, he is going to bring you such peace and such joy. And he will fulfill your joy. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their sons. The fathers to their children. I guess in that day, there was a neglect between the father and children. God said, I will fix that with your precious son, John. And so he said also, not only that, look at verse 17. He will go before him in the spirit. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Somebody say, that's us. See, the just people are us. But he said, I will turn disobedient people to your wisdom, because you are just people, you love me, you serve me, you walk with me, you do the best you can do. Other people may not understand you, may not like you. It doesn't matter what they think. It matters what God says you are. And if he says you're just, he says, I will use your wisdom, and I will bring people to you, and I will bring them before you, and you will have just the right words to speak. And they will become righteous because of your wisdom. Ooh, that's so good. Why? To make ready, put that back up, verse 17. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now he's talking about John's going to prepare people, but we're also a people to prepare people for the Lord. So he's called us, church. This is a big calling as well. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that this word is a lamp to our feet. It's a lamp to our feet. Now, those little lights we put out in our front yard, those little lights, all they do is just shed a little light right around your feet. But he said, the word is a lamp to your feet, but it's a light to your path. So it will be a light. So if you'll put the word in you, it'll be a light that will cause you to be able to see where you're going on the path. Because, listen, this is a crazy path sometimes, isn't it? This is pretty wild. So anyway, the angel came to him. And I'm jumping ahead of myself, but that's all right. Look at verse 13 again. The angel said, don't be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. How long had he been praying about this? I'll tell you something. They were old people, really, really old. But that was a problem. But the second problem was, not only were they old, but she was barren. Okay, I don't know why she was barren, but she was barren. Now, this miracle that the angel said, you're going to get this miracle, now the miracle needs a miracle. How many of you have had a miracle, but now you're saying, oh, Lord, my miracle needs a miracle? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're righteous before God and you've invited him into your heart, you love him, you are walking with him, and the Spirit of the Lord leads you, let me tell you, you are as righteous as Zechariah was. You are a holy man of God, a holy woman of God. And so you just keep doing your work down there at the cancer center. You just keep doing your work at home. You just keep doing your work at the hospital, Melody. Just keep on doing your work in your homes, Kathy. We just keep doing what we're doing. You don't have to be in the temple. We're always in the presence of the Lord. We are the temple of God. We're the temple. So we don't have to go behind any veil. We don't have to do any of that. We already spoke to him this morning, even before we got to church. We already visited with him. We already sensed his presence in this room. Aren't you glad that we know him? Woo! You could just feel his presence come into this place as we begin to worship him. And he said, he'll slip up behind you sometime when you're working. You're just working. You're alone. You're alone. Nobody else is around. See, nobody else knows your aloneness. They don't know it. So you're all alone, and you're running this race, and you're doing what you know to do. You're trying to do what you know to do. And the Bible says you will hear this whisper behind you. You'll hear his voice talking to you in your ears, and it will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Or he will say by his spirit, no, don't go that way. Just don't go. I mean, you feel the unction. You feel it. Sometimes you deny it and go do it anyway. Because like, I don't know if that's him or me. Well, I'm going to tell you, the devil's never going to tell you to do something good. That's for sure. And if it's going to put you out, you're not going to tell yourself to do it. Most people don't want to be put out. But when it's the Holy Spirit, he'll whisper, this is the way. Would you do this for me today? And he begins to talk to his people. But you're just going through your day working. Some of you have been praying about something. Here's what I felt my spirit to tell you today. You have been praying for something for so long. So long. And Zechariah says, God. In other words, let me just say this. This was the wrong time for them to have a baby. Okay, you don't get pregnant when you're really old. Even though they knew the story about Abraham and Sarah, I don't know if he forgot or what. But I'm going to tell you, his doubt rose up in him. How many of you are almost ready for a miracle? You just need it. All of a sudden, the doubt rises up. Oh, God. I know you brought me through the last thing. But I don't know about this. Let me show you what he said. Okay, the angel is pretty meticulous. He's pretty articulate. He didn't mince any words when he said, you and Elizabeth are going to have a baby boy, and here is what he's going to do. And he even knew his name was John, and you will name him John. So the angel spells the whole thing out. I want you to look at what this precious man of God who loved God with all of his heart, kept all the ordinances, and was a righteous man. I'm so glad this is here. This way we won't be so hard on ourselves. Okay, look at verse 18. And Zacharias had the guts. I added that. Zechariah had the intestinal fortitude, the guts. And he said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, he didn't slap him around. He didn't say, duh, didn't you just hear what I said? The angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. So he could have added, so do you think I made this up? God's got multitudes of angels. The Bible says they're innumerable, but he's only named them two angels. Here he names Gabriel. He said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of the Lord. Verse 20. He gives him the good news. I was sent here to bring you these glad tidings. I thought you were going to be all jazzed. I thought you were going to be all excited that you two were going to have the baby after all of these years of praying. 20. But, oh, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words. Which, look at this. Look at this. It's so important, these next few words. You did not believe my words, which will be, somebody say, will be fulfilled when? In their own time. Not yours. In his time. So he said, I've got it all planned out. I've got it all working here. And poor little Zacharias, with all of his righteousness and holiness, it was just too much to grasp. Said, how can I do this? I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced. But see, the big secret was here, if he would have just caught this one word, the Bible said, your prayers, where was that at? Which verse? Anyway, he said, your prayers have been heard, Zacharias. Verse 13, put that back up. Look at verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall call his name John. God didn't ask him, hey, how old is she, by the way? Can she still bear children? How about you, Zacharias? Are you and her still healthy, you know? Well, no, we're not. No, none of that. He didn't ask him any questions. Let me tell you something. Shambach used to say it like this. God has a miracle with your name on it. Your name is already on that miracle. And God is not asking you anything about it. Listen, can I just jump off here and tell you something secular? Okay. How many? Now look, if you haven't heard of this person, just ask Kathy Lewis or Portia or some of these women, and they can tell you. How many remember Brenda Lee? Okay, ask them if you haven't heard, and they'll tell you who she was. She was a big star in the late 50s, I think, early 60s. Sweetest little thing. She was about 4 feet tall, 4'5", and the little thing had this voice. And she sung such sweet little love songs. And so she wrote the song called Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. We'll have a happy holiday, I think. So she wrote that, listen to this, 65 years ago. Home Alone, this just came out this week. Home Alone, the first showing of Home Alone came out in 1990. And remember when the little guy, the little blonde, it was so rowdy, he was pulling one over on the robbers that were trying to break into the house. And so he set up this statue or a silhouette or a cardboard image of a man, and they were kind of going around in circles. And it was, what did I call that? Dancing around, rocking around the Christmas tree, we'll have a happy holiday. And it just went crazy. So she said it went up to number two. And it went to number two on the Billboard charts. It went to number two, but it never became number one. Now, you know Mariah Carey is, somebody said, she thaws out in October. She thaws out, and then here comes Mariah Carey music. Mariah Carey's music. Do you know that little Brenda Lee, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, became number one last week? Number one after 65 years. You know how old she is? She's way too old to be singing it. Now, she's 78 years old. And, no, I know it's not old, Kathy. I'm sorry, it's not old. It's not old at all, you know. It's just getting younger all the time. So that little thing came out on the Grand Ole Opry stage. I mean, she got out there and she sang that song. You know how she used to crack her voice? Well, ask these guys. They'll tell you. It was just a cute little crack. She just knew where to do it. I guess it was just natural. Anyway, she goes, I had no idea. Why would, after I'm 78 years old, why did it take so long? It's number one. And Mariah Carey sent her flowers. Because it went past All I Want for Christmas Is You.
What a miracle. And she sent her flowers. These people were just picking this little lady up and blessing her. And I'm thinking, if anyone told her your song, that old, old song that you wrote when you were probably 14, what, 13? If you think that song's going to do anything in 2023, forget about it. Here it is, number one. She's getting flowers from everybody. So just to tell you, we live in a natural realm, and I'm not even going to talk about the material girl, but remember that song? We live in a material world, and Madonna would say, and I am a material girl, and she was proud of it. We do live in a material world, but I'll tell you something about us, and you know this, you know this. You could be so successful in your job and who you are, and everybody love who you are, and yet you can be right with them in the middle of having a big party. Maybe they are blessing you. Maybe you kids are at school, or you're in a big place or small place, but all of a sudden you realize in your heart, I'm not talking about any superiority or inferiority. I'm not talking about being greater than or holier than thou. I'm just saying there's something different about you. You're not telling them that. They know it. You don't have to Bible thump. You don't have to try to put on a show for them. You just know in your heart you're among friends. You're among people you love. We love them. We got to run with them out in the world. But you know there's something different about you. Inside, you know that. What is that? You are the temple of God. These kids are school. They can feel the same thing. Again, it's not lifting us up. It's just saying that you come out of the kingdom. You live in the kingdom. You live, move, and oh, I got to get going. We live, move, and have our being in the kingdom. But let me tell you this, church. God is going to have a remnant in this day. He will. He will have a remnant. And that's us. And it doesn't matter if you think you're too old, too poor, too wealthy, you doubt too much. It doesn't matter what you've done. Well, I was in prison. My mother lost her mind. My daddy was crazy. They were drug addicts. I could never do that. It doesn't matter what you think. God has ordained us. He anointed us for this hour. And you seniors, you may have already, like Miss Therma, said goodbye to your spouse. But Therma, God will bring people into your path. He will bring your children. You may not win your children, but somebody else, you keep praying, he'll put them in your way. So I'm going to say again that your promise will be right on time. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter. You may be like Zacharias and doubt yourself right out of it. God, I don't see how that could ever happen. It doesn't matter, because God will have that remnant. And God's timing, you know what it is? It's absolutely perfect. His timing is perfect. We don't like it. I don't like it. But I'm willing to wait on it. Let me tell you, his waiting, aren't you glad that you waited to be with the one, your husband, your wife? Look at the ones maybe you got wrong before, but aren't you blessed to be with that person right now? Hallelujah. Just blessed, because they were worth waiting on. There's some things you just got to wait on. All right, I'll go over here and quit. All right, look, keep your prayers going, because your prayers in the book of Revelation, it said John the Revelator saw the 24 elders, and they were all carrying like a golden bowl. You've heard me preach this before. They all carried a golden bowl, and the Bible says that in it, you know what was in that bowl? The prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. And the Bible says it was mixed with incense. And it went up into the nostrils of God, and it was so beautiful to him. He said it's a sweet-smelling savor. But sometimes the things I'm praying about, you're praying about, Does, you think it's a sweet smelling savor? God, I'm going to pray this, but it's going to smell bad to you. Now, this is just horrible, but I'm praying it, Lord. It's going to smell bad. No, no, no. As long as we mix it with his incense, it comes up into his nostrils. And he said, oh, that's art. Oh, that's art's prayers. I get it. I get it. That's Lizette's prayers. I've got it. So I'm telling you, churches, just keep them going before God. Because God said, here's what. Put up 1 Peter 2:9. Look, I'm closing now. He said, these are the kind of people that I will use in the last day. These are those holy, righteous, wonderful people with all their quirks and all their faults. All the stuff we lack. And yet he gives us wisdom. He said, here's who you'll be, 1 Peter 2:9. The end time remnant will be what? A chosen generation. Read it with me. Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own, look how sweet this is, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you. Where? Out of darkness. Into what? I'm so glad he didn't just call us out of darkness, but he said, no, I called you out, but now I'm taking you somewhere. I'm going to bring you into my marvelous light. I'm not going to leave you out there in the darkness. You say, well, I thought I was coming out of darkness. I'm back in there again. Listen, as long as we're down here, you're going to need that word, a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. Because it's going to get dark sometimes, but God has the way. So, David said, oh Lord, Psalms 141 and 2. He said, Lord, may my prayer be set before you like incense. And that's what it is, Debbie. When you pray, it's incense to him. Just keep lifting it. And he will see, tell you while you're just working your way through your life, you're working, you may be driving, he'll come and say, Lawrence, your prayer was heard. What? And immediately, you know what prayer he's talking about. He may not send an angel, probably not, to announce it in person to you like this, but we'll hear it. And here's what's amazing. Before John was born, his mom and daddy were told what he would do. His dad, Zechariah's dad, was offering up incense. And then John gets out there and he begins to see. This is the John. He said, I saw out there the angels of the Lord carrying that golden vial of prayers, carrying it as incense before the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, whether it's the issues of life or impossibilities, don't let any of that happen. Just stand with me right now. Come on. Get ready, church. I'm just going to say get ready. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. No tongue can tell the things that God has prepared for his people. Oh, Father, I give you praise. I give you praise, Lord. I give you praise. I give you praise, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this man, Lord. I thank you for John, the great apostle that Jesus loved. I thank you for John the Baptist. Lord, we thank you for these that went before him to prepare the way. But I thank you for these right here and the people down at the Nazarene Church and the people over at First Assembly. I thank you for Glad Tidings, Lord, with a new name, North Point, I think. I thank you for Believers Church. Lord, together, for the Baptist churches, all the churches in town that are gathered this morning. There's many in that remnant. There's many more that will be coming in. But Lord, use us in this hour. We so need you. We need our miracles. Lord, some have just waited and waited and waited and waited, and I'm sure all of us have been waiting many years or many months for a certain miracle, but it's still coming. It doesn't matter. You see it, you know it. Hallelujah. So, Lord, today I'm going to ask your sweet people if we could just come together and lay our lack down, the issues of life, just the stuff that might try to hinder. You said you were running so well. Who did hinder you, Paul said? Who hindered your running well? Well, there's just stuff in life that will hinder if it can. So, Lord, I pray now. We've got such a friend in you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. So what did we hear today? You just keep walking. You keep working. Keep doing what God's called you to do. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, but you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're doing that. So do that. If God has prepared that way for you, then do that. And he said, I heard your prayers. And very soon, we will see what thus saith the Lord. Some of you have already seen it. Some of you have already witnessed, and I give God glory for that. But there's more where that came from. Amen? Don't forget the miracle with your name on it. Wonderful Jesus. Make sure you read this. It'll be a lamp to your feet. A lamp to your feet. A light to your path. Let's all stand together for the blessing. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you all. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his beautiful countenance towards you and give you peace and keep you protected, full of faith, full of love, blessed financially, emotionally, physically, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being at Landmark today.